message today. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. This is the word of the Lord. This is Apostle Paul writing, but these are words so significant for us and our lives and our ministry individually and together. He says this, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant of all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all possible means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." How do gospel missionaries think? How do gospel workers pray? How do those who put their lives on the line to share the gospel around the world live? Well, the way they live, if they're truly representing Christ, is the way we ought to live. Today we're going to wrap up our series on strongholds by considering the way that Paul dismantled strongholds as a proclaimer of the gospel, as a model for that way that we should live. I would submit to you it is the calling of every Christ follower to think like a gospel mission worker. It is God's charge to every church of Jesus Christ to prioritize the ministry of the gospel of Christ above our personal and cultural preferences. Today we're going to talk about why, we're going to talk about how. So these are profound truths that we're considering, and they tend to be rather abstract. So I'm going to now and then kind of just sort of dive into some kind of practical realities just to help it kind of pop alive a little bit for us. And so because it's Super Bowl Sunday, I think in all my years of ministry, I've always had a Super Bowl illustration on every Super Bowl Sunday, so I must not disappoint. And here again is another one. So imagine this. You are a Kansas City Chiefs fan. You love the Chiefs. But your assignment today is to go into a room of Philadelphia Eagles fans and share the gospel with them. And my question to you is, are you going to wear your Chiefs jersey and shout your Chiefs slogans? Now, an effective gospel ministry, missionary, thinking and living like a gospel worker, like Paul did, would not. And yet, I would submit to you, many times we do wear our jerseys, and inappropriately so. We lead so much with our preferences, our culture, our generation, even our politics, rather than leading with the things that would gain a hearing for the gospel. So I want to encourage you today to think about that principle. It is the calling of every Christ follower to think like a gospel ministry worker. It is the charge of every church to prioritize effective mission of the gospel of Christ above our personal or cultural preferences. And that's what we're considering today. And of course, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified that is the ultimate stronghold dismantler. And he is the one, by his mighty power, that sets free each person who turns to him in personal faith. This is what we proclaim. This is what Paul proclaimed. And that's what he proclaimed even at Corinth, where he said, "I decided to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." This is what we proclaim here at Trinity Community Church. What is written on the wall in the center lobby? It is that our vision is to have every person in Southwest Suburban Gospel in Boston hear the gospel. Not hear what I think, not hear my preferences, hear the gospel from someone they know. And when we have our membership classes, what do we say is the most fundamental belief of Trinity Community Church? It is the necessity of a personal faith in Jesus Christ by receiving the gospel. And you've heard these things. I believe you believe these things. What today's message is doing is asking us to consider how we, as those who have been delivered from the stronghold of Satan's grip by the power of the gospel, are now delivered from maybe those secondary subtle strongholds that keep us from being effective gospel ministry workers and would minimize our effectiveness at helping others to be delivered from the stronghold of sin and death, because we're so petty, caught up in our preferences, and missing the opportunity for gospel ministry. Of course, we know strongholds exist. We've talked about this, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. But God delivers from them. We in Christ, by the proclaiming of the gospel, have divine power to destroy strongholds, these God-opposing fortifications. And of course, they're all over around us, and we counter these in gospel ministry. We counter these in prayer, because it's God who destroys them. It's God who sets people free. So I'm praying that today, somehow, as we wrap up this series, and some of you may say, man, you've gone from stronghold busting to kind of philosophy of stronghold busting. Yes, I have, because as we've been working through this series, I've been kind of thinking, it's not just that we're personally set free from the strongholds in our lives, but that we're helping others to experience the gospel and God setting them free. And I hope that today fosters that renewed focus on prayer and gospel mission for us, so that others are set free by the gospel. So here's where we're going today: dismantling strongholds by the gospel in the focus priorities that we have. And we're considering Paul, and we're considering us. We're considering his goals, and we're going to consider our goals. We're going to consider his methods and our methods. And then we're going to apply this to all of us as believers and all of us at TCC. And we're looking at Paul's example in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23, for all believers to adopt that same kind of focus. And the purpose is so that more and more people are set free by hearing and receiving the gospel. Now, did anybody work through this little book with us in the 21 days of prayer? Did anybody else besides me, sometimes as you're working through this and you're hearing about Senegal and the obstacles and the sharing of the gospel, see some of the parallels to us here? I hope all of you were as you did that. And one of the things that was going on as Bill was sharing these, Bill and his team, and things that he shared with us behind the scenes, is that they have adopted a missionary focus, and we'd expect that because they're missionaries, right? We've sent them over there to try to reach people in a very difficult context with the message of the gospel. So they have to think a certain way, and that certain way is modeled by the Apostle Paul here, I would submit to you. And I'm asking all of us to also, as we think about reaching people around us, neighbors, friends, family, classmates, work associates, that we would adopt that same mentality. Now, some of you may be saying, Pastor Bruce, this is a really nice idea, but it's just for some folks. It's for people like Paul and people like the Martins and maybe a few other people at Trinity that choose to adopt this kind of mindset and thinking. And I know that's out there. And you're saying, no, I'm just going to keep doing life the way I'm doing it. I'm not going to live and function this way. I'm not going to pray this way. I'm going to do what kind of works for me. I want to say, please don't. Please don't, because it is God's will and intention that you function like Paul did. You say, Pastor Bruce, can you be sure of that? Yes, I can, absolutely sure, because of the authority of the Word of God. Now, as Paul's writing to the believers in Corinth, same kind of mentality that he had in chapter 9, he had at the end of chapter 10. Not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. He's setting aside his preferences with a desire to minister the gospel effectively to people so that they may be saved. And then he turns to the believers in Corinth and says to them, which is what he would say to us, this is God's message to us, be imitators of me then in this, as I am of Christ. So we're not copying Paul. We're copying Jesus, who is copying Paul, or who Paul is copying rather. So it is Jesus that Paul copies, and we copy Paul because Paul copies Jesus. So we're actually copying Jesus. And this is exactly what Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, right? You must have the same attitude as that Christ Jesus had. So this is God's charge to every believer. And yes, I know Philippians 2, chapter 5 is about relationships within the church. This applies to all of our relationships too, but it applies especially so to the ministry of the gospel, to those that don't have a personal faith in Christ as well. So let's consider then, this is not just for Paul, this is for me. This is for you. This is not just for the Martins over there in Senegal, this is for Trinity Community Church here. What are Paul's goals? What are his methods? These ought to be ours individually and collectively. Let's look at his goals. We're following the that phrases, which are purpose, goals, in these verses, verses 19 through 23. There's quite a few of them, actually. And we can see that his goals and ours are winning some, saving some, and some sharing in gospel blessings, partakers with him in those gospel blessings. Let's consider the details here. What does it mean to win? When Paul says, for though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant of all that I might win more of them. Paul, when he uses this word, it means to gain them and their gain. He's not winning an argument. He's not mainly winning agreement with him and his position. We would like that, but his wording here is that they would know life, true, forgiven life in God. That's what he means by win. This is used by Paul repeatedly here, also in verse 20. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one not under the law, as though myself being under the law, not being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. And he's speaking, of course, in the first case of his ministry to those who were Jewish of culture and approach. And then he's speaking in the second case of those who are Gentile. But he then shifts. It's not just Jew and Gentile. This is not only an issue of ethnicity and cultural conditioning. It is also an issue of kind of personality and people types. Because in verse 22a, he says, another of those win examples, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. So Paul's aim is to win. That is, that they might know life in Jesus. All these different types of people. And then he goes to save. This is the theological term that we're quite familiar with. Save, salvation. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Now, Paul is not saying that he is the Savior or any method is the Savior, but he's speaking of being rescued from God's wrath, by God's mercy, when anyone receives Jesus as Savior. And I point to you Romans chapter 5, verse 9, for that, where it speaks of being saved from his wrath because of, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the finished work of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. So this is what it means to be saved. To be saved from and rescued from the wrath of God, the judgment of God upon our sin, by receiving Jesus as Savior, because Jesus died and took upon himself that wrath that we deserve. And then Paul speaks of sharing in gospel blessings. This is his goal, more people to be won, more people to be saved. and more people to share with him in gospel blessings. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, he says, 1 Corinthians 9:23, that I may share with them in its blessings. This is a very interesting kind of Greek word. The idea of the Greek word is shared joy in fellowship. It's not just that these who believe in Christ have gospel blessings, forgiveness of sins, security in God forever and ever, the blessing of joy of knowing God. It's not just that they have these blessings, but that Paul gets the joy of knowing that they share in the joys of these blessings when they believe it. So the idea is of shared joy, and this then relates to each and every person who does not know the Lord and our heart for them. We want them to know the joy. And we want the joy of knowing that they know the joy in the gospel blessings. So we're not just tooling on life thinking about ourselves. Every person who does not know Christ is someone we hope experiences and knows that joy. And we have joy in knowing they know the joy. And this is what Paul aims for. This is what we ought to aim for, that people, more people be won, more and more people be saved, more and more people share the joy in gospel blessings. Of course, those all come through the same thing, a personal response to the Lord Jesus Christ in receiving the gospel. Now, I mentioned to you that sometimes all this is kind of floating up here in the realm of abstraction, and I want to kind of take it down again to like just kind of real life and just think about you can wait on that one, Steve. We're not going there yet. Think about just sort of walking into a room like this. It's a Sunday at church, or maybe it's a Sunday evening at youth group. And yes, we're talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel with non-believers, but people that come and visit, of course, some may be believers, some may not be believers, but the experience that they have in that moment is largely determined by not so much what's going on up here, and the message that is proclaimed and the music that happens. I know the reality of this. A lot of what they're judging this experience by as they come to church or youth group is what happens with you out there. And you know, I'm thinking back to conversations Eric and I had with Bill Martin as we were beginning this kind of exploration into dismantling strongholds. And we were talking about church, the experience of church. And, you know, Bill was kind of using his experience in attending church in the South at one point of his life as a little bit of an illustration of something like what ministry needs to be considering over there in Senegal. And he relayed this story to us, you know, that at a time in my life when I was going to church in the South, you know what happened every Sunday? Every Sunday, they would ask all of the visitors there that Sunday to stand up, tell us their name, and where they are from. Now you think, if we did that in New England, I can guarantee you those people would never come back again, right? Now what is that? Well, that's thinking like a missionary. It's you know, culturally thinking appropriately, right? And yet, I would say that sometimes the way that we relate to people that visit, the way that people experience walking into a youth group at Trinity or a Sunday service at Trinity, we might as well have asked them to do that and sing a solo. And see, Pastor Bruce, why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? Because I've seen it. I've heard it. What do? We make a beeline to all of our friends in our little group, and we have a little conversation, and there's that guest standing there awkwardly wondering, who's going to include me? So, thinking like a missionary, thinking wanting to win and to save and that they might share in gospel blessings, what am I doing? I'm saying, I can talk to my friends later. I got to find that new person. I got to include that person that's not being included. This is how Paul functions. This is his goal. This ought to be our goal as well. And then his methods. Paul is remarkably flexible in his approach. And some of us may say, yay, Paul, and some may say, whoa, what's he saying? We're going to talk about this, but this is best stated in verse 22b. He's not wishy-washy. Don't mishear me now. He's not wishy-washy, but he has an incredible zeal for others to know the gospel. And my prayer is that this verse 22b, this sentence, would not only be a reflection of Paul's zeal, but it would be something that we would rightly understand, and it would shape our zeal too in every aspect of his life. Paul said, I become all things to all people that by all possible means I might save some. He's going to do whatever it takes. And it's not about what he likes. It's about what's going to be effective. It's what's going to engage people in faithful gospel ministry. And the context here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you look at it in a larger context, Paul is talking about how he is sacrificing his rights. He's making a case, like five different supports, for that he as an apostle has a right to financial support in his gospel ministry. And it's totally right in all kinds of reasons, five different, I'm going to list them. And he says, you know what? I give it up. I don't want to use it. And why? He's sacrificing his rights as we should sacrifice our preferences to minimize obstacles to the gospel and to maximize opportunities for the gospel to be heard and received. In 1 Corinthians 9, 12, nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, yet we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel. So now we're thinking this way like missionaries, seeking to maximize opportunities for people to hear the gospel and seeking to minimize obstacles. And of course, the gospel and the truth of God offends people that reject God a great deal, but we don't want to be the ones being the offense. We don't want it to be our stubbornness and our insistence that they be like us and think like us and function like us to get in the way. It's as if we're going to another country where people speak another language. We don't want to insist on speaking our language. We want to speak their language to communicate the gospel to those folks. You know, if we were ministering to teenagers, what would we do? Well, we'd try to connect with teens. We're ministering to children. What would we do? We'd try to connect with kids, vocabulary, right? This is what we do here at Trinity. We're ministering to adults. We minister to them. We're ministering to people, different cultural, ethnic backgrounds. We're connecting with them, ministering to people, different generations. We're trying to connect with their generation, not insisting they be like our generation. And so it is. That's what Paul did. He's faithful to the word, and he's ministering the gospel. Now, some of you may say, man, this Paul guy and this model, this sounds like chameleon. And I found a chameleon, right? So it sounds like he's going to be green if he's on green, and orange if he's on orange, and brown if he's on brown. And I say, no. He's not wishy-washy. He's not a chameleon. That's not at all what it is. He is who he is. He's always faithful to the word. He's always flexibly adaptive to faithfully proclaim the gospel. So he's always the word. He's always the gospel. And he's consistently with focus. So that includes sacrifice and discipline. So he's actually far more than a chameleon. He's somebody who's grounded and rooted and yet with a purpose. His grounding and rooting gives him a purpose. And I just put in there those scriptures related to faithful to the word. Please don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we should in any way be wishy-washy with the word. And I put in there the scriptures about the proclaiming the gospel. Please don't hear me. I'm not saying we should in any way mess with the gospel. I'm saying that we should be sacrificing and disciplined with a consistent focus on flexibly and faithfully proclaiming that gospel. So think about this then. 1 Corinthians 9:23. Everything, every decision about how we do it is with the goal that more people hear Every decision is the goal that more people receive. Every decision that the Church of Jesus Christ advances in this faithful proclaiming, he does it all for the sake of the gospel, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's then the summary statement. While being faithful to God and his word and the gospel, we, not just Paul, we sacrifice our rights, our preferences, and flexibly adapt our approach and style to communicate the gospel in a way that minimizes obstacles and maximizes opportunities for it to be heard. Okay, we're coming up for some practicals here now again. So I've had the blessing of being the pastor at Trinity Community Church for over 30 years. And I can remember as a man in my 30s, standing before this church, most of the people 20, 30, 40 years older than me, and preaching a sermon where I exhorted us to be neither traditional nor trendy, but to be culturally relevant and faithfully proclaiming the gospel in our context. And I believe that those older folks at Trinity who hung in there with me and embraced that are the reason we are here today. And those years now look a little different. And I'm an older gentleman, trying to put it nicely. And now in my 60s, and I would say to my peers and older brothers and sisters, we cannot insist that the coming generations follow what we preferred, or we will leave them saddled with a ministry model that will not work for reaching the coming generations. So when I was a young man, I was blessed by some older folks who went along with us. And my prayer is that we would lift up the next generations, not by insisting that they do it our way or what worked for us, but that they be faithful to the gospel and the word of God and use those methods that work for the coming generations. My vote goes with them, because that's what's going to be the basis of a thriving church in the years and decades to come. So I hope you're all with me on that. This is our charge, and it's, again, not to be trendy. Those trends, so many of those trends, they went and came and went so fast, you couldn't hardly see them. It's about being effective. It's about being faithful and effective, and that's what Paul models for us. Now, Paul is clearly under God's word. He's under God's word. We must always operate under God's word. As he has this little, you know, the English translation puts in a parenthesis, right? Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. He's not saying, oh, this is a free-for-all, throw out the Bible, throw out the Ten Commandments, throw out everything Jesus said, and just make it up my own thing. No, he is under the law of Christ. So we need to talk about this a little bit, because might such an approach, if not under Christ, slide into a worldly kind of accommodation? And I would say yes. Why did I say that? Because it's logical, and two, I've seen it. I've seen it many times. What begins is sounds kind of right, soon is way, 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 way off, because it has slid into worldly accommodation rather than being under Christ. So what does under Christ look like? What are some checks that we can use to ensure that our zeal to win others is really zeal to win others, not just trying to be comfortable and fit in with what's ever going on out there in the world right now that's moving and moving and moving? If that's driving you, you will abandon the gospel within a matter of a generation. So here's, because zeal for winning others is driving us, am I constantly and increasingly conforming my mind and life to the word of God? I'm not just saying words here now. This is real. This is me. Am I constantly and increasingly conforming my mind and life to the word of God? Because if we're not being conformed to the word, we will be conformed to the world. It's either one or the other. Some kind of world will conform that we will conform to, if not to the word. Number two, And again, this is not just words. I'm asking this to be a real gut check. Am I praying with zeal for others to receive the gospel? I'm not just trying to be a nice guy and fit in. I'm praying with zeal for others, neighbors, family, friends, here, near, and far. I'm praying, sincerely praying that others hear and receive the gospel. That gut check is there. The zeal is to win for real. And we need the check of community. Am I partnering with a solid biblical church team in this approach? I'm not just freelancing it. I'm in a community of believers, under the word, connection with others, and I'm partnering with them in this. If we have those three, it is a zeal to win. It is matching what Paul has. We are under the word, and with goals and methods, we have that focused priority. The gospel is heard, effectively communicated, and as much as God would work and open hearts received. So let me give application to us and to TCC in four zones. We're kind of talking about four zones of living and my goals that we're all pursuing and embracing zone number four. Here's zone number one. It's the selfish zone. It's all about me. It's all about my comfort. This is what life is about. This is what I do when I come to church. This is what I do when I go to youth group. This is what I do when I live in school. This is how I live every day. This is what I'm looking at on Facebook. It's about me and my comfort, me and my comfort. It's all about selfish. And of course, this is just a stronghold. It's not in any way reflecting that you know Jesus as Savior, the one who set you free. Maybe don't even know him for say as Savior if this is the way you function. He died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves. 2 Corinthians 5:15. No longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And for living for him who for their sake died and was raised is to live as a servant for others as Paul did for the sake of the gospel, not selfish. But then there's the safe zone. And a lot of, I believe, genuine Christians live here. Because of fear or some other kind of stronghold issue, we play it safe. We're happy Jesus forgiven us, but that's about it. A TCCer said to me this week, you know, Pastor Bruce, most of the folks at Trinity don't really seem that concerned about reaching out. Ouch. I don't think that person was wrong. Most of us live in the safe zone. People with needs around us. We're happy to be forgiven in Jesus, but because of fear, we just play it safe. And then there's a small time zone. I confess sometimes I see myself in the small time zone, and I don't want to be there. I want to be in zone number four. The small time zone says, I'm reaching some out. Yes, yes, yes. I'm serving some. I'm outside my comfort zone some. But I'm not all in. I'm not the kind of zeal that Paul has. Does my zeal approach this? I become all things to all people that by all possible means I might save some. As one of my seminary professors said, it seems as Paul's going to do anything short of sinning to see more people hear and receive the gospel. He's that all in. Let's get out of the small time zone. Let's embrace the stepping up boldly zone. Stepping up boldly with God-sized faith, God-sized vision to pray and share and willingly sacrifice my preferences so that others in big ways hear the gospel and receive the gospel. Let's be a people that are stepping up boldly into that stepping up boldly zone. So I'm always inspired by the church in Acts after Peter and John were imprisoned and their lives were threatened and they went back to the church and the church prayed. And do my prayers approach this kind of prayer? Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Is that kind of how we're praying? God, give me more boldness in my praying and in my living and in my speaking. That's stepping up. That's the zone that matches that of Apostle Paul here, individually and collectively. So how do we respond? How do we apply this to our lives? Let's make sure we take a moment to speak to anybody, you know, and I was picturing there may be many here, but anyone who has not yet received the gospel. You may be saying, you know what, Pastor Bruce, I don't believe this stuff. I don't buy this stuff. And I want to just speak to that person just for a minute to say, to invite you to believe the gospel, because it's the only way out of the stronghold of your eternal judgment and only way into joy. But let me just go back to Paul's image of like sharing the blessings. I want you, who's ever hearing this has yet to receive it, I want you to experience the joy and the blessings. I want to be there with you. It's my personal invitation to you to share in the blessings, to receive Jesus and what he offers you, so that you know his joy now and forever. And I have the joy, we have the joy of you being there with us in that joy, in him. And then if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe the best way to say it is to be about the gospel. Be about the gospel. Are you willingly operating your life like Paul did? Are you willing to make that choice today to do so? Let me just ask you to think and pray and love and live like a gospel worker. That it should go without saying. That's how we all should operate. To focus your life in such a way and ask TCC to focus its operation in such a way to prioritize the effective gospel ministry above our preferences, above what we like, what makes us feel comfortable. And let me just conclude with some questions that might focus that. One is, what people are you praying for? Non-believers that you can lift up. Make a point of those specifics. And will you pray for more boldness for you and for TCC so that more strongholds are broken? Can we be focusing our prayer in that kind of way? And lastly, where can we make adjustments? Where can we make sacrifices? Where can we operate differently to remove obstacles where we may be putting them in place, or certainly to foster opportunities where we can for more people to hear the gospel and to receive the gospel? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this scripture that is not only the inspiring example of Paul, Lord, but it's really a call for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ to operate that kind of way. God, show us, give us wisdom, discernment to know where we need to make those kinds of adjustments personally, and how we relate to others as a church, and the kind of warmth and welcome we provide, the kind of connection we provide for people, different stages of life, different backgrounds, different cultural and ethnic histories, Lord, different generations and ages, God. May we, as a church, Lord, be effective. May we individually, as believers, be on mission and about the gospel. We look to you, we trust in you, we thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.